Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Is that one there? All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for April the 6th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. You know we reject revolution. You know we stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, right? All right, dozens of big companies paid zero in federal taxes. The mainstream press loves that headline. And the reason they love that headline, ladies and gentlemen, is because they want you to believe that, oh, these big companies, man, they're getting away with murder, by golly. We've got to raise taxes on them. And I want to kind of jettison that narrative for a second. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that you've got to reject that narrative, okay? You've got to jettison that narrative. Let me explain why. Dozens of big companies paid zero in federal taxes. Businesses, I know you believe they pay taxes, folks, but I want you to understand that businesses don't really pay taxes. You say, what are you talking about, Sam? Look, all businesses do is buy and sell goods and services. And if you make them pay a bunch of taxes, all it does is make you believe that it doesn't hit the average wallet. But it just hits the average wallet in a backhanded way. Okay? So government basically then forces business to pay taxes. Businesses pay taxes. But then all they do is they look at their business, what they're selling, whether it be a product or a service, and they say, hey, we've got to build the cost of that tax into our product and to our service. Right? Don't tell me that isn't true. That's factual, right? So let me give you an example. Patricia Cohen wrote this article, and it says FedEx and Nike are among those who avoided U.S. tax liability for three straight years. They want you to believe that they got out of something, right? They got away with something, those companies. Just as the Biden administration is pushing to raise taxes on corporations, a new study shows that at least 55 of America's largest companies paid no taxes last year on billions of dollars in profits. Okay. Now, I don't believe they paid no taxes because I believe they paid property tax. They paid all kinds of tax. Okay. They're talking about income tax or whatever term you want to use. Okay. They say the sweeping tax bill passed back in 2017 under the Donald Trump administration, they say by a Republican Congress and signed into law by Donald J. Trump, reduced the corporate tax rate to 21%, down from 35%. But dozens of Fortune 500 companies were able to further shrink their tax bills, sometimes to zero, thanks to a range of legal deductions and exemptions that have become staples of the tax code. That's according to the analysis that Archer Daniels Midland and Consolidated Edison, I guess those are the people that did this kind of research or whatever, they were among those named in the report. All right. It was done by the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy, the left-leaning, whacked-out research group in Washington. They say 26 of the companies listed, including FedEx, Duke Energy, and Nike were able to avoid paying any federal income tax for the last 3 years, even though they reported a combined income of $77 billion in income. Many also received millions and billions of dollars in tax rebates. Companies' tax returns are usually private, but publicly traded corporations are required to file financial reports that include federal income tax expense, if you will. Anyway, the story goes on. But the reason I want to highlight this, folks, is number one, businesses don't really pay taxes. People pay taxes. And if you force these big companies to pay these taxes, all you're really doing is fleecing the wallets of the people kind of behind the scenes or indirectly. So be very careful when you push and say, oh, man, all these companies avoided the taxes. Let's tax everybody harder. Let's get the other guy. That's a mistake. Here's my opinion. The income tax comes straight from Satan's spawn. Okay, the income tax is evil as all get out. It's one of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. Okay, how we let this even grow up around us in America is beyond my imagination. But ladies and gentlemen, reject the income tax completely. Just shut that cursed satanic organization, the IRS, completely down. Because it's a criminal enterprise. Because it's unconstitutional. Because it's part of the Communist Manifesto, that's why. Okay, so don't delight in taxing the other guy. If you want to support appropriate, proper rule of government, then fund it legitimately with an indirect apportionment tax or a tariff at the border tax. Those are constitutional taxes that are justifiable to pay for the proper rule of government. But when you promote property taxes or income taxes, you're just back in the Communist Manifesto and deceiving yourself. So, you know what? They make this big to-do in the mainstream press about, hey, you know, let's go ahead and look at these companies that are just getting away with murder by avoiding these taxes. No, businesses don't pay taxes. People do, ladies and gentlemen. And all it does is materialize in their goods or services offered. And it's a disaster. Don't let the government or anybody else deceive you on these critical points. Okay? So, you know what? I'm glad these dozens of companies paid zero in federal taxes. And rather than wanting to tax the other guy, I find myself saying, how do we get the rest of us out of those cursed taxes that are fueling government that just becomes the enemy of the people in the first place? Anyway, I digress. Ammon Bundy, my friend, welcome back, sir.
Thanks for having me. How are you doing, Sam?
Good, sir. What do you think of my rant on the income tax? I just can't take it anymore, sir.
I love it. I love it. I think you're right on, and I think people need to understand what's funding the tyranny, and it's income tax.
We've got to take money away from these thugs, or they just have too much time and too much money to abuse us, don't they?
Yeah, and they can keep growing and growing. They don't produce people, you know, they do not produce anything. They do not produce a product. They do not produce anything. So in order for them to survive, they have to take. And that's what they do. And then they just keep growing and growing and, you know, getting their buddies and friends and everybody else that they want in their department. And they just keep growing and growing. And where do you think it's going to end?
All right, there you have it. Anyway, I appreciate Ammon Bundy's comments on that. And I really want to talk about Ammon Bundy's experiences, though. Ammon Bundy denounces corruption in the state of Idaho. And I don't think Idaho is as corrupt as many states, but every state seems to have their fair share of corruption. So let's start at the beginning, Ammon Bundy. You were going peacefully into the state capitol to kind of watch the proceedings and keep an eye on things and to kind of express guidance and leadership on certain things they should and should not do based on the Constitution and the rule of law and the proper rule of government. They didn't like you going in, did they?
No, and they didn't. You know, like us, they thought that I was going to be an influence on the legislatures, and so they made a
hold on a minute. Stop. What do you mean? You're supposed to influence your legislatures, aren't you?
Exactly. That's
what Americans are supposed to do.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what I thought was the proper way to go about things. I've always been told that, and you know, we had quite a bit of influence on the legislatures, and so we were headed to the special, quote-unquote, special legislative session where the governor was trying to pass an immunity bill that would make him unaccountable for any of his COVID decisions in Idaho here. And, you know, a whole bunch of us showed up. There's several hundred of us showed up, and they blocked the doors to the House session so we couldn't come into the proceedings. They literally put armed guards, Idaho State Police, and guarded the doors and wouldn't let us in. And so this was in August. And so we, after trying
to help
them understand.
Hold on a minute. Before you go on, Ammon, I don't understand. They guarded the door. Isn't this like a public place?
This is the Capitol building. You have to understand, I mean, that's just, you know, very similar thing happened at the, you know, in Washington, D.C., where these people wanted to go behind doors. They wanted to, you know, do things outside the view of the public. And they wanted to, go about business as normal without people knowing what they were doing.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is unacceptable. I just wanted to start the story out. We're going to come straight back and let Adam Ammon Bundy rock and roll and tell you exactly what happened from the start. Last August, this all kind of happened. Ammon Bundy wanted accountability and wanted to know what was going on with the government. Ammon Bundy denounces corruption in Idaho. We'll get to it in seconds on your radio.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Ammon Bundy with me. So last August, Ammon wanted to peacefully go to the Idaho State Capitol. He wanted to sit in on the proceedings, and he wanted to advocate for certain things and against certain things that were happening legislatively. You know, usually they encourage us to do that every day. They're like, hey, you got to support your congressmen and senators. You got to support your state. You got to get out and vote. You got to be active and you know, proactive in the process. This is America. It takes people being involved. And well, when Ammon Bundy does it, they call it cops. What the heck's going on, Ammon?
Well, you know, there was hundreds of us there. I don't want to think that they did it just for me. They literally tried to block us all from coming into our own Capitol building. And actually, one ISP officer, when the people were saying, "This is our house, this is our house," he says, "No, this is our house." And he and they really believed it because they were physically blocking and people from coming in. And ultimately, what happened is people pushed their way into the gallery, it filled it up, and went into all the overflows and so forth. And the Idaho State Police, you know, felt disrespected, I guess. But the plot continued, and that's when the governor, the Speaker of the House, the Senate Pro Tem, and others got together, and they basically conspired. And I didn't basically, they did. They conspired to remove me from the Capitol building. And the next day, they created a situation. I could go into detail, but they basically created a situation where they arrested me. And one other guy who was trying to film me, and they actually arrested another lady. They drug her. Anyway, I won't even get into that, but they grabbed her by the neck and drug her into the room and then trespassed her. And they did that so it wouldn't look like they were just trying to arrest me. And all this has been uncovered now. Anyway, so I spent that day in jail, and then got out that evening. The next day, I went back to the Capitol building, sat in the Senate gallery, just went in. I wasn't even with hardly any people, very, very few people there, sat down in the Senate gallery. ISP came in and arrested me again, drugged me off.
Hold on, before they came in and arrested you again, they came over to you and said, "Will you please remove your hat?" And you're like, "Oh my gosh, I'm sorry." And you politely removed your hat, and you were demonstrating a very cooperative, appropriate behavior attitude, as you always have. I've seen you in many, many places. This is no different, and they know that. Let's make that point.
Yeah,
clear,
no, I was well within respect. I never did anything to cause trouble, disrupt, or to interrupt any of the proceedings. Nothing. I was just participating. I was there. And yeah, so when I first came in the Senate gallery, I came in, I was just about ready to sit down, and the ISP officer that was there, kind of just in that area, I think it was kind of a normal thing. He came over, and I guess it's a Senate rule to remove your hat, and I would want to do it anyway, but I just hadn't done it yet. I was sitting down, so I immediately removed my hat and sat down. And it wasn't very long after that, they came, a whole group of ISP officers came, surrounded me, and arrested me and drug me off to jail, where I spent that day, night, and the next morning in jail, in a terribly cold condition. And then they trespassed me from the Capitol building for a year. And we've uncovered a whole bunch of stuff that they planned on doing that so that I couldn't influence the legislatures. Not only for the special session that was going on, but also for the 2021 session that's going on now. Because if I go step on the Capitol grounds right now, they'll arrest me. And so they've done that so they can do business as normal.
But hold on a minute. I got to understand this, Ammon, for a second. I don't mean to interrupt, but I just got to understand this. So wait a minute. You're prohibited from being on the Capitol for a year? On what grounds? What crime? What justifies such a... I mean, everybody can go on the Capitol peacefully and just mill about and participate in the legislative process and all this. Have you committed a crime?
No, I mean, like I said, I was just peacefully there, disrupting nothing, acting well within my rights. And I was targeted by the governor, by the Speaker of the House, by the pro temp, who all of them had a plan to do certain things during these legislative sessions and to try to pass certain things, because this is a great opportunity during the COVID, and now they have all this billions of federal funding, and they are literally wanting to legitimize all the things that they have dreamed about for years and years and years. And I was there possibly going to disrupt their plan. And so they, because I was going to, you know, bring people and make people aware, and people were not going to just be, you know, uninformed, because that's what we've been doing. And they felt like if they could remove me, that they could end the influence that we were having on the legislatures. And that was their plan. And that's what they pulled off. And they did it in August. And they also have done it now. And now the legislative session is almost over here in Idaho.
But what is their excuse to say you can't be on the Capitol for the next year, though? I don't understand how you can just create an edict like that when there's no criminal activity or justification.
So what they did, this is an interesting thing too, and I've been in contact with the legislature. So in 2011, I believe it was, the legislature, Idaho legislature, passed, and really what they did is they rewrote the trespassing laws in Idaho, and they made them really a lot stronger, because there was a lot of people that were going on private property and hunting and not respecting boundaries and so forth. So they strengthened them. And of course, what the bureaucrats did, what the prosecutors and the others have done, they use this trespassing law to start trespassing people on private property, public property. They started using these were private property trespassing laws to keep people from going on private property when the owners didn't want it. And now what they're saying is the bureaucrats are saying that they're the owners of these public properties. So therefore they can use these private property trespassing laws against the people. And those laws carry a 1 year, exclusion from the property, where you can't go on it for a year.
Hold on a minute. These government bureaucrats think they own the public property and therefore they claim ownership now?
So in one of the motions in our litigation, the prosecutors actually argued in a motion that the Speaker of the House owned the property, owned the Capitol building. And that was their argument. They actually argued that in their own motions. And, obviously but that is indicative to what is happening. People like we are in terrible circumstances, awful situation. Because we have those in government, most of them are employed by the government, not necessarily elected. Most of them are employed. And they literally believe that they own the rights of the people. They own the right of a person. They own a person's body. They could say you have to have a filter over your face if you go outside. They say they own your businesses, and they can tell you when to open them and close them. They say that they own your right to travel. They could stop you from traveling. They could stop you from going. They say that they own your right to worship. But they could say when you can worship, where you can worship, and how you can worship. These are the things that are facing us right now. And so to me, in some way, it's still alarming. It's still terrible. But them claiming that they own the Capitol building is very minimal in comparison to them saying they own my body.
Both are really along the same lines, though, where you have bureaucrats that are not elected. They're appointed and or, whatever you want to say, employees or whatever. And you have no checks and balances. You have no opportunity for a redress of grievance. You have no opportunity for transparency. You have no opportunity to have a jury of your peers. You have no opportunity to hold them to account. And this is the problem we're experiencing, ladies and gentlemen. Ammon Bundy continues on Liberty Roundtable Live in seconds.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Major League Baseball, in a knee-jerk reaction, moved its All-Star game to Colorado after the league announced Friday it was pulling the game out of Atlanta in protest of the state's new voter ID law. It should be noted, Colorado requires voters to present identification when voting. CBS News appears to be stepping back from a hit piece against Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis. The report on Sunday outlined an alleged pay-for-play scheme involving DeSantis accepting a $100,000 donation for his campaign from a grocery store chain for the right to distribute the COVID vaccine. Republican and Democrat critics blasted the report for deceptive editing by CBS that omitted DeSantis' explanation for the vaccine strategy. The Texas Rangers welcomed a crowd of at least 38,000 fans to Globe Life Field in Arlington Monday for the team's home opener against the Toronto Blue Jays. The game marked the first full-capacity sporting event since coronavirus shut down all sporting events more than a year ago. USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Alaroot for our newest sponsor, Asset Strategies, or ASI for short. ASI is a precious metals powerhouse. They sell gold and silver. Never in history has there been a more important moment to buy gold and silver. ASI has been in business for 39 years. They've served over 20,000 clients and sold $5 billion worth of gold, silver, and precious metals with zero complaints. Last year, gold saw gains of 25%. Silver nearly doubled gold's performance. Now Democrats are in charge. Green New Deal, open borders, free healthcare for illegals. Bail out broke cities and states. The debt is about to go through the stratosphere. The time to buy is now. The owners of ASI, Michael and Rich Chekin, have been my close personal friends for 16 years. ASI is the company I trust when it comes to buying and selling precious metals. Call now to receive a free consultation and a free 1 ounce silver eagle with every qualifying purchase when you mention the Wayne Alaroot Show. Call 800-831-0007. That's 800-831-0007. Or visit assetstrategies.com.
Are your 2020 taxes completed yet? Sure, we have an additional month to get them done this year, but there's a money reason to get them done. Tim Berg from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau reports.
A third batch of $1,400 stimulus checks is out the door. The latest round reportedly includes plus-up payments to those eligible for more money if their 2020 tax returns have been processed by the IRS. More than 130 million people so far have received checks that were authorized in the massive stimulus bill that was recently signed by President Biden. The IRS is urging taxpayers to get their taxes filed so they can take advantage of all money coming to them.
The tax deadline has been moved back to Monday, May 15th. Baylor captured its first NCAA men's basketball national title through an 86-70 pummeling of Gonzaga on Monday night. Game took place at Lucas Oil Stadium. Bears coach Scott Drew is spotted with a basketball net around his neck and a smile on his face. Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Out of control bureaucrats and thugs are taking this to the new level, ladies and gentlemen. Government officials believe they have literally ownership of not only government buildings and everything else, the Capitol in Idaho being the one we're discussing, and our bodies. They can tell you where you need to be, where you need to leave. You need to leave here. Why, sir? Because I said so. Well, there's no law against me staying here. I know, but I'm in charge and you're out of here. We'll take you out by force if you don't comply. They did that to Ammon Bundy last August in the Idaho legislative session. He was monitoring that in the Capitol, a public place, peacefully, not causing any trouble. They arrested him. Bottom line is, Ammon pushed back and was arrested, but he got out, pushed back, said, hey, this isn't going to happen. There's corruption in Idaho. We're going to get to the bottom of it. So Ammon keeps digging and working on this thing. And now Ammon Bundy and Aaron Schmidt had an incredible motion to dismiss. You want to talk about that, Ammon? Let's start there.
Well, we basically put together everything that we have discovered and uncovered over the coronavirus, whatever you want to call it, and scare, right? And we published it, and we published it in a motion to the court. And it's a 21-page document, and it has 99 exhibits. There'll probably be some added to that as well. But we started basically from the very beginning, and I don't have time on this show, but I would like to summarize it, because this is why they did not want us at the Capitol building, because we had been so effective at exposing the truth of what was happening. And ultimately, I'll just kind of give you a little quick background. This is a little quick background. Is on March 13th is when President Trump held a press conference, and he said that he was going to release $50 billion of federal relief funds to states that were in a state of emergency. Well, that very same day, Governor Little, Brad Little here in Idaho, put the state of Idaho in a state of emergency. And on his own governor's website, he confirmed that Idaho had only one COVID case. So it was obvious why he did it. He didn't do it because of COVID. He did it because of federal funding. And then a few days later, on March 25th, Governor Little put us in a state of extreme state of emergency, and that was the very same day that President Trump and Speaker Nancy Pelosi in the Senate agreed upon a $2 trillion federal stimulus deal for those states that were in extreme emergency. And so it was obvious what Governor Little was doing. And that the problem is, on March 25th, he made a proclamation putting the state in extreme emergency, but he also ordered self-isolation. He did a self-isolation order. And this is where it gets really terrible, because he inflicted upon the people of Idaho, and literally by order, using martial law, Idaho martial law powers, he ordered the people to self-isolate in their place of residence, to go out to perform government-approved essential activities that were listed. He ordered business owners to cease non-essential operations defined by the order. He prohibited individuals from gathering in any number, including religious services, peaceful assembly, and family gatherings. He ordered the cessation of all non-approved travel, requiring essential workers to carry essential critical identification cards, and then, of course, mandating social distancing. And this was his first move, and he simply did it so that the Department of Treasury would transfer billions of dollars to the office of the governor of Idaho. Now, people might like, well, are you sure you're correct, Ammon? And I would like to read to you. I know it's kind of boring a little bit to read, but I think your listeners will find this very, revealing, because this is exactly.
I agree. I've read the whole 21-page document that Ammon Bundy and Aaron filed. Incredible motion to dismiss was not filed in court, but shared with the public. And thank heavens the judges saw the light to some degree, but they still got a ways to go. But here's the details of the order that Ammon is really pushing back against. This is criminal activity at the highest levels of government. It's not only Idaho, it's all over the country. That's why we're bringing it to your attention, folks. Go ahead, Ammon.
Yeah, so executive order number 2020. So he lists here that, well, I'm just going to read. So he says, whereas, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'll just summarize, or I'll just hit the main points. Whereas I issued a proclamation on March 13th, 2020. And whereas I issued a proclamation on March 25th, 2020, declaring the state of extreme emergency in the state of Idaho. And he says, pursuant to Chapter 6, Title 46, which is the martial law code of Idaho. And then he says, whereas each of these proclamations remain in effect today. Then he says, whereas Congress. So this is the reasoning. Whereas Congress has passed and President Trump has signed three legislative packages that provide state funding in response to COVID-19, whereas I anticipate additional congressional action on a federal relief package, on federal relief packages to states regarding COVID-19, now therefore, I, Brad Little, Governor of the State of Idaho, do hereby order the creation of a COVID-19 Financial Advisory Committee, compromising of members appointed by and serving at the pleasure of the governor. for the coronavirus relief funds and other funds to be administered by the office of the governor. So he literally passed
a
law.
Let me just interpret this really quick. He literally became the legislative body, passed a law in his state and said, hey, I'm going to create a committee to receive all these funds based on my lying that we're in an extreme, critical situation. Therefore, I had to, you know, put us in this extreme emergency situation. Now I'm going to create an organization where I can appoint all my friends to take care of the cash, right?
Yeah, and it even says at the pleasure of the governor. So, that's what he did. He literally did this to the people of Idaho. He took us using the martial law code of Idaho. He put the state of Idaho in an extreme state of emergency. And I want to read something really quick. And I know, sometimes but this is the martial law order that he used. It's literally Title 46.6, the martial law and active duty. It says authority of the governor. And it says during a period of state of extreme emergency, the governor shall have complete authority over all agencies of the government, including all separate boards and commissions, and the right to exercise all policing powers vested in the state. This is what he did, and this is what we're still under today in Idaho. And Utah's probably the very same thing. So he literally put the state under a dictatorship where he has control of all the government and all the policing power. And then he put us in extreme state of emergency and has received at least $8.1 billion of federal funding that came to the office of the governor. And then he got his buddies and put them on this board, this committee that he says will determine where the funds go at the pleasure of the governor. I mean, what has happened here is literally a tyrant's dream.
And it makes you ask the question, what would I do if I were king for a day? I mean, I joke not. This is serious, serious business. There was no national emergency. There was no state emergency. There was no extreme emergency. There was no justification for government to shut everybody down and then to demand the cash and to play games with the state of emergency, to become king and then appoint all your buddies to receive all the cash and decide what to do with it. We need to follow the money. Where have they spent a lot of this money?
Well, and the thing is normally in Idaho and all the states under a Republican form of government, right? The legislatures are the ones to determine where the state funds go. But he made it so now, and the state funds, or the state budget is about $1.8 billion a year. Or $1.5 billion in Idaho. That's about what we deal with a year. Well, he just received $8.1 billion, and there's no legislative oversight. He gets to spend it how he wants to, at his own pleasure, while he's...
What is your normal dollars per year?
Martial law. About $1.5 billion.
So you're talking about 6 years or so, ladies and gentlemen, of flat-out cash with zero oversight based on an extreme emergency. The governor becomes a king or queen for more than a day. Let's talk about it with Ammon Bundy in seconds.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
What would you do, ladies and gentlemen, if you were king or queen for a day? What if you were a bureaucrat and you could just seize power on a pretend emergency, a pretend extreme emergency? What would you do if you could just leverage $8+ billion without any oversight and appoint your friends and your buddies in the good old boy network to go ahead and administer the cash? Well, all this stuff's going on in Colorado. It's going on in Idaho. It's going on in states across the union where literally you had this pretend pandemic happen. You literally had government bureaucrats everywhere just seize unprecedented power, claiming they have authority, claiming they own your body, claiming they own land and the capital and public buildings and et cetera, et cetera. And now we're taking it to a new level. We're literally grabbing cash on a false premise. So Ammon Bundy and others are going to the legislature, watching and trying to hold them accountable and expose a lot of what's going on here, make sure that it's transparent, following the money, et cetera, et cetera. And then they literally arrest Ammon Bundy. Ammon Bundy pushes back, gets a lot of the details exposed, and then basically they decide, we got to let go of some of these cases. So they do. However, there's more. So now Ammon Bundy's and Aaron Smith's incredible motion to dismiss was not filed in court, but shared in to the public. And in public opinion, or the court of public opinion, if you will, I guess it got the judge to send this egregious action to mediation. Does that imply there's no evidence to justify a court case? You decide, ladies and gentlemen. They've made this whole thing public where you can see it and read it. But the bottom line is now they want to go to mediation. The problem is we've never heard of such a thing in these kind of cases. They say you're a criminal, but they don't really have charges. You don't get a jury of your peers. You don't get the ability to kind of subpoena information. You don't get the ability to gather all the information that you need or whatever. They just want to go to mediation. Very strange proceedings on the back end of this, Ammon.
Yeah, so we've been litigating this for 8 months now, and it's been heavy, heavy litigation. We've litigated it like a federal trial, like a federal case. And so we're talking about, you know, many, many motions, hours and days and weeks and months of litigation back and forth. And we have been insisting from the very beginning that we get a fair and public trial from a jury of our peers, with a jury of our peers. And they have denied this and denied this and denied this. And finally, on March 15th, they set a trial, or they set a trial date for March 15th. Now, remember, this happened in August. So speedy trial rights are completely thrown out the door. And now we're 7 months later, and they finally set a trial date. And so we go to that trial, and we get ready to go in. We're all prepared. We're ready to go. And they stop us at the door and say we can't come in without a mask. Well, I don't wear a mask because
I believe very strongly that it is my right to make that decision over my body. And I feel like the mask would become something somewhat of a symbol of those who will accept tyranny and those who won't. And so I said, no, I don't wear a mask. And I said, but I do have a right to come into my trial. I read all the Idaho laws that allow, that say that they can't block or not allow people to come into the courtroom, but they sat there with armed guards, wouldn't let us in. And meanwhile, our trial proceedings began, and the judge and the prosecutor had an ex parte procedure that they went through for a period of time. And then the judge issued a failure to appear to me, myself, to Aaron and myself, a failure to appear while we're trying to get in the courtroom. And then they sent the officers out and arrested us and drug us into the courtrooms without masks, arrested us, and threw us in the cold boxes at the Ada County Jail for almost 35 hours. And some terrible things happened during that period. And so now we were like, wait a minute, like, I mean, they're not even allowing us to have trial. Anyway, so then last Friday we had a hearing, and we get on. It was very short hearing, and the judge basically says, I called this status hearing to order you to a mediation. Now, this was after we had made this motion public. So we made the motion public from the time after we got out of jail to between the time we got out of jail and this hearing. And so now the judge was able to see all the evidence and to be able to go through this motion and see how they literally conspired against us. And now he's getting scared and he's wanting to back away and distance himself from this because of his actions. And he's saying, oh, I want you to go. I'm going to order you and the prosecutor to go in the back room and try to make some kind of deal so that none of this is on record and that we could just be done with it. And that's what he tried to do, push it in mediation. And mediation is something you do in a civil case, not a criminal case. And so it's all very odd.
So does he have authority? I don't know if you have attorneys or if you're doing this yourself, or do they have authority to just mandate mediation in this kind of a case when there? I don't know what you mediate. Either you're guilty of a crime or you're not. And if you're guilty of a crime, let's lay out the crimes. And if you're not guilty of a crime, then it's time to dismiss, sir.
Yeah, exactly. And see, that's why they don't want to dismiss, because then it'll be on record and all the things that they have done to us will be on record.
Yeah, but hold on. It needs to be on record if they committed acts that they should not act. And it needs to be made an example of so that this doesn't happen to innocent people again.
I know, but that's what they don't want. It absolutely needs to be. And we're going to do our best to get it on record. But they're trying to just dissolve it. By mediation, he's literally saying, I'm no longer going to be the decider on here as the judge, or the jury is not going to get the chance. We want you to go in a back room and make a decision together, like agree upon something to make this all go away. That's what he's saying. That's what mediation is. You go and there is a mediator that's assigned by the court, and you basically work it out and you say, okay, look, you give me this, I'll give you that, da da da, and then okay, we'll make it go away. That's what they're wanting.
Can't you just issue your side of mediation publicly and just say, hey, in mediation, we're not willing to give on anything. We're simply telling you to dismiss the case, and if you dismiss the case, then our mediation is complete. And if you don't dismiss the case, then mediation failed, and we're gonna move to the courts.
Yeah, that's what we'll do, you know. But the thing is there's something that's called jeopardy here, where speedy trial, the reason why our founders set the speedy trial was so that someone doesn't have to sit here under what they call jeopardy, which is, having to fight a case, not being able to move forward with their life, all the trial and trauma that comes with being prosecuted. It was supposed to be a very short period of time. Well, this mediation now is at the end of this month, and then who knows what'll happen there. And we're talking about it, coming up on a year probably by the time there's even resolution. Well, we were supposed to be able to go to court. We wanted to get our trial. We wanted to get in front of a jury. And see, You know that.
Yeah, but what you really need to do is get abuse. What you really need to do is get back to the legislative session where you belong.
Well, and that's the other thing is they the session's almost over. I'm not going to have any influence. They were able to do what they wanted to do, cover up what they wanted to cover up, and continue the governor's order to get as much money as they could from the federal government. They've accomplished that already, and I haven't been able to go there without threat of being arrested, and so, you know, these are the abuses and the way that they work, and we have to at some point say, look, this just isn't working for us. This process, this type of government, you know, putting the people under a dictatorship and then keeping them there indefinitely, and then getting basically the massive redistribution of the people's wealth into the government's hands, this isn't going to work anymore. This isn't working anymore. But, you know, people have to wake up and understand what's really happening here.
Do they say you've committed a crime?
Yeah, trespassing.
Yeah, but didn't they dismiss all the... Didn't they dismiss the trespassing and realize that
There was two trespassing charges, right? Because of the first day and the second day in the Senate. They had to drop the second trespassing charge because they didn't have authority. They had to acknowledge they didn't even have authority to trespass me in the Senate. But they still held on to this first one, this first trespassing charge. And that's what they're trying to prosecute me on and what's continuing.
All right, so I got to understand who the victim is then. Help me understand, you know, usually if there's a crime committed or some kind of criminal activity, there's got to be a victim somewhere, doesn't there?
Well, I can't see anybody a victim except Aaron and I. I mean, we're the ones that have spent literally now over a week in jail. We're the ones that have been, you know, stripped of our rights. We're the ones that have had to spend the enormous amount of time and effort and money to try to defend ourselves. And all we were doing was be present at the Capitol building during the legislative session. That's it. Not being disruptive, not being belligerent, not doing anything but acting well within our rights. And so I don't know, but that's what the government does. The government claims that somehow they're the victim, and so therefore they can prosecute us. And everything is upside down.
Ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray for Ammon Bundy. Are you raising money for this? How expensive is this for you, Ammon?
I'm not raising money. We're defending, primarily doing most of it ourselves. And I know, I just want people to know that I know for certain that we will prevail in this. We've already pretty much broke their backs on this case already. We will prevail because God has given us the advantage once again, just as he always has with my family in these situations and many others that will follow the guidance and direction of the Lord. So we will prevail. I'm not afraid of that. But what needs to be done is people need to be aware and understand of the situation that they're in so that they will wake up. And this is another opportunity for people to understand and wake up.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is critical, because if they can get away with this, this is kind of a landmark case, in my opinion, Ammon. If they can get away with this, then there's no telling what they'll do next to the people, to whoever it be. I mean, you won't be able to even speak out. If you decide not to wear a mask, they won't even allow you to just, you know, leave a place. They'll simply hunt you down and round you up and noncompliance. And you know what? They're taking off the gloves if they can push and win this. So we're grateful you're fighting back and that you're standing for the sacred cause of liberty. We asked them to jettison this bogus idea of mediation. I want to know who the victim is. Let's just start with those things. Let's ask the judge why you don't get a jury of your peers, as is the American way. And why isn't Ammon innocent until proven guilty? They haven't proven trespass. Whose land? Whose property? Who owns the Capitol? Is it bureaucrats or the people? What's going on in America is the real question. Ammon, thanks. Come back and tell us what happens, will you?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Sam.
Ammon Bundy doing a great job, ladies and gentlemen. People's rights to learn more. God save the Republic.